This is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV, 5 topics in about 10 minutes for Thursday, March 11th, 2021. I'm Derek Gilbert. Topic number 5 today, helicopter money. That is a term applied to just basically printing money out of thin air and throwing it to people, which is essentially what the $1.9 trillion COVID relief bill is all about, just like the previous COVID relief bill. Democrats are ecstatic at the imminent passage of the $1.9 trillion spending bill, President Biden calling it historic, Senator Schumer calling it a great day for the country, Senator Debbie Stabenow of Michigan gushing, "People on the floor in our caucus, it was almost like tears in their eye. I mean, I felt it." Here's what's actually historic about this bill. According to the Congressional Budget Office, the Biden one-term deficit will total a forecasted $8 trillion, $8 trillion with a T. That includes the $1.9 trillion spiraling to $11 trillion that Democrats follow through on their promise to enact a $3 trillion infrastructure bill next month. Bear in mind that prior to the COVID plan, the COVID pandemic, rather, the annual spending by the United States government was in the order of about $4.5 to $5 trillion. So we're talking a deficit now that is 200% of gross domestic product, more or less, or annual spending, but also 200% of gross domestic product projected by the year 2050. This is what the red on the chart on the screen behind me represents. Republicans have noticed the waste in the bill, but the point is going way beyond the waste in the bill. The point is that we have abandoned any pretense of trying to rein in the federal deficit, and we are kicking the can down the road for future generations. Our children and our grandchildren will be picking up the tab for this and trying to clean up the mess that we, our elected representatives, are creating for us today, using the excuse of the pandemic to just spend money like well, I'd say like drunken sailors, except it would give drunken sailors a bad name. This nation has been under serious stress. I mean, an existential threat 3 times in within our history. The Revolutionary War, which really extended through the War of 1812. And yet the spending, or the borrowing the federal government did to finance those conflicts was pretty much paid off by the 1830s, the Civil War. The war between the states, if you will, that essentially paid off by about 1920. And then, of course, we had the Great Depression of 1929. World War I, of course, required a lot of deficit spending. That was the reason, the excuse given for the federal income tax, which was supposed to be temporary. And here we are 100 years later. World War II, of course, raised the federal deficit in terms of gross domestic product to over 100%. That was paid down generally till about 1972 when we decoupled the dollar from gold, the gold standard. And now, because of the pandemic, we are well over 100% of GDP. And if spending continues at its current rate within 30 years, our federal debt will exceed 200% of gross domestic product. Now, we're told that worrying about debt is pointless, that deficits don't matter, but it does, and it will when these chickens come home to roost. Get yourself out of debt if you can, and remember that while figures don't lie, liars can figure. Case in point, the most recent inflation numbers from the Bureau of Labor Statistics, putting all of this money into circulation through this spending will result in inflation. Now, keep in mind, that's not prices going up. It's your dollars being worth less. It is a very simple matter of supply and demand. Supply of dollars relative to the supply of goods and services out there is changing because of the additional currency that's being injected into the system. It means each individual piece of green paper will be worth less. That's why prices seem to go up. Now, we're told that inflation in the month of February was only at 2%. But that's because they jiggered the way they calculate the numbers. On the screen behind me, you see, courtesy of shadowstats.com, the actual inflation number, if it was still calculated the way it was calculated back in the 1980s. They changed it to hide the fact that our dollars are worth less and less over the last 40 years. So while the Bureau of Labor Statistics can tell us that the Consumer Price Index, inflation, is running at an annual rate of about 2%, it's actually closer to 10%. Bear that in mind. Because if you sit on a pile of cash in savings and you're getting paid less than 1% interest, you're being taxed, essentially. It's a hidden tax on the money that you're sitting on. So if you're not putting your money into some kind of a hedge, real property, or precious metals, that money is worth less and less with each passing month. Now, Sharon and I say this, bear in mind that Sharon and I say this as people who have not invested in precious metals to this point. We do, however, have a number of other items that would be useful if and when things hit the fan. Long-term storage food, rice, beans, canned goods, and toilet paper. Things you can trade for other things that you might need if and when things get bad. Just not trying to frighten you, just be wise as serpents while being gentle as doves. Topic number four, suing the White House. Arizona and Montana going to court to take legal action to block new Biden administration immigration regulations, saying that these would cause harmful consequences to those states. These new rules would limit the ability of ICE to detain some illegal immigrants unless they pose a threat to national security, entered the border after November 1st of last year, or committed aggravated felonies. Arizona Attorney General Mark Brnovich said in a statement, blindly releasing thousands of people, including convicted criminals and those who may be spreading COVID-19, as we told you earlier this week, is both unconscionable and a violation of federal law. Montana's Attorney General Austin Knudsen joined Brnovich in the lawsuit, both filing for a preliminary injunction aiming to block the regulations from going into effect. Montana's concern is that meth being trafficked into the country by Mexican drug gangs is harming his state, and that is a nationwide problem. Topic number three, training up our children. A bill mandating the teaching of sex education to children as young as the age of five has been introduced into the Senate in the state of New York. The New York Post reports that the measure would bind the state's health curriculum to standards written by a left-wing interest group that advocates sex ed for social change. These are standards that call for public and charter schools to teach five-year-olds about gender identity and advise eight-year-olds about the accessibility of hormone blockers to prevent puberty for children who identify as transgender before they reach their teenage years. Meanwhile, the State House in Mississippi has passed legislation that would protect female athletes by banning biological males, in other words, just males, from competing in women's sports. This bill passed by an overwhelming vote of 81-28. The Mississippi Senate passed a bill last month in similar landslide fashion, 34-9. The act would require that any public school or institution of higher learning designate their sports teams according to biological sex. In other words, according to science. And hopefully more Republican states across the country will follow suit. Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson Tuesday signed into law legislation banning nearly all abortions in that state, a sweeping measure that would that supporters hope will force the U.S. Supreme Court to revise its landmark Roe v. Wade decision. Opponents vowed to block it before it takes effect later this year. Topic number two, denying the divinity of Christ. You got to wonder why this gentleman wears a collar. In a widely viewed TikTok video, progressive LGBT activist preacher Brandon Robertson interpreted an exchange between Jesus and a Syrophoenician woman in the region of Sidon, that's Lebanon, to mean that Jesus held a racial bias that demanded rebuke. Robertson says that in Mark 7, Jesus hurled a racial slur at a woman, but because the woman didn't back down but instead spoke truth to power, she changed his mind and Jesus repented of his racism. You see this in Mark 7. The woman was a Gentile, Syrophoenician by birth. Her daughter was possessed by a demon, and she begged Jesus to cast out the demon. And Jesus said to her, "Let the children be fed first, for it is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." But she answered him, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs under the table eat the children's crumbs." Now, Reverend Robertson interpreted this to mean that Jesus was racist, but then repented of it because she stood up to him. Well, Jesus was saying that his mission was first to the people of Israel, God's chosen people. But he had already previously, if you read Mark 7 and the corresponding verses in Matthew 15, prior to that, as already opening the door toward spreading the gospel to the Gentiles. This encounter, widely interpreted as that turning point in Jesus' ministry, where the gospel then began to be shared with Gentiles. Here's the thing. If Jesus sinned, if he was racist, then he sinned, and if he sinned, then Christianity isn't true. And in the words of the Apostle Paul, we of all people are most to be pitied. Reverend Robertson, you're the one who needs to repent. Coming up, unintended consequences. That's ahead on 5 and 10.
Since ancient times, lights in the heavens have been understood as omens of important coming events. They've been seen as the messengers of the gods. But others recognize them for what they really are. Agents of judgment from the one true God, sent to a disobedient and dying world. Now, something is headed toward Earth, and it's set to arrive very soon. It's racing toward our planet at this very moment. It cannot be stopped, and it's carrying the secret of America's, the world's, and your tomorrow.
When God revealed to me the date that Pope Benedict would resign over a year in advance, people were in disbelief until it actually happened. Then, when I shared what God had revealed to me about a worldwide destruction set for only a few years from now, some people responded with disbelief, and some are terrified. Revelation 8 is unfolding as we speak, bringing not only wanton destruction, but also an ancient messenger heralding the arrival of the Great Tribulation period just before the second coming of Jesus Christ.
Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the asteroids shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, when they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory.
I predict that over the next 9 years lies the greatest time of trouble the world has ever known, a prophesied aeon that some people call the Great Tribulation period. Whether they want it or not, all of those on earth at this time are going to be forced to heed the warning of the messenger.
Item number one today, unintended consequences. A couple of examples to share with you today. Part of the World Economic Forum's Great Reset Initiative is eliminating physical cash in favor of digital currency because they want to know what we spend, how we spend it, where we spend it, what gets measured or monitored, gets managed. Well, it turns out that this might be at odds with their Green New Deal mindset. You see, reconciling all of these secure encrypted digital transactions requires computing power. Lots and lots of computing power. And that requires power. Lots and lots of power. And you probably know that Bitcoin, digital currency, cryptocurrency, has surged to over $56,000 per Bitcoin recently. Well, a researcher at the Cambridge Center for Alternative Finance has calculated just how much energy Bitcoin is consuming with all of these new transactions. 121.36 terawatt hours a year. That's terawatt, not kilowatt, not megawatt, terawatt hours per year, which is more than is used in a single year by the Netherlands, the United Arab Emirates, or Argentina. At its current rate of growth, Bitcoin is poised to use more energy in 2021 than Norway. And this is for Bitcoin, which most of us don't use. If the World Economic Forum rolls out the idea of secure cryptocurrency for everybody, imagine the amount of energy and thus greenhouse gases that would be produced. On a similar note, the legalization of cannabis here in the United States has had a similarly awkward side effect. 36 states in the United States now allow the legal medical use of cannabis, and 15 states have legalized recreational use. But that has led to an increase in greenhouse gas emissions, especially here in the central United States, as you see on the accompanying heat map behind me. A new study by Colorado State University found that $13 billion cannabis, this is big business, $13 billion cannabis industry, because of the electricity, natural gas, high-intensity grow lights, and supplies of carbon dioxide needed for indoor cannabis growth, is massively increasing the size of America's carbon footprint. Indoor cannabis cultivation, resulting in life cycle greenhouse gas emissions of between 2,200 and 5,000 kilograms of carbon dioxide per kilogram of dried flower. Compare that to outdoor cannabis growth, which uses between 23 and 327 kilograms of carbon dioxide. 22 versus 2,200. Unintended consequences. Well, during the month of March, Skywatch TV is offering as our thank you for your support the excellent book by Pastor Carl Gallup's Gods of the Final Kingdom. In fact, we're offering it for your donation of any amount. Essentially, you set the price for the book. As long as you live, the shipping address is inside the United States or Canada. We'll send you a copy of the book for your donation of any size during the month of March. To find out more, log on to skywatchtv.com and click the red button that says donate, or log on to skywatchtvstore.com, or give us a call, 844-750-4985. It's our way of saying thank you for your support. Coming up at the end of the month, I'll be talking about transhumanism and the days of Noah for the Discerning Minds virtual conference. This is presented by Hear the Watchman, our friends Mike Kerr and Jeannie Moore. Friday, March 26th and Saturday, March 27th, begins at 6 p.m. Friday, the 26th, runs through 9 p.m. Saturday, the 27th. Registration is just $49, and you get 3 months unlimited access to all of the presentations. You can find out more and sign up online at hearthewatchman.com. That's hearthewatchmen.com. Well, we're praying that you will join us in the Holy Land this October, October 3rd through 18th. Sharon and me and our colleagues from Skywatch TV, Donna Howell and Allie Henson, going to Israel. We'll be there and showing you sites that other tours will not visit. We go through Judea and Samaria, where 80% of the Bible's history takes place, but where many Western tour groups just do not go because the world calls that the West Bank, and the perception is that it's not safe. Well, we've been there twice now, and I can tell you we never felt unsafe. And that means you'll get to see places like Shiloh, Bethel, the Altar of Joshua, and archaeological sites like Gilgal, Rephaim, and the mysterious Serpent Mound of Bashan, as well as all of the sites that you'll want to see, the places where Jesus and the apostles walked. We will see Jerusalem. We will ascend the Temple Mount. We will worship on the Sea of Galilee. Visit Capernaum, where you'll see the home of Simon Peter, recently excavated by an archaeological team from Italy. Much, much more. And the optional 3-day tour to Jordan, take you to Mount Nebo, Petra, the red desert of Wadi Rum. Not to be missed. Not to be missed. Find out more online and reserve your place at skywatchinisrael.com. Skywatchinisrael.com. This week on Skywatch TV, we talk about the year 2025, the High Holy Days, and the connection between the incoming asteroid Apophis in 2029. What does this mean for Bible prophecy and for you and me? Allie Henson is the guest. She talks with Joe Horn, Tom Horn, and the Skywatch team. You'll find our broadcast schedule online, skywatchtv.com/channels, or just add the Skywatch TV app to Roku, Apple TV, or your smartphone or tablet, which not only gets you all of our video content, including these daily news updates, Sci Friday, Unraveling Revelation, and more important news and a schedule of our upcoming events, that free mobile app good for iOS and Android devices, and Amazon Kindle Fire tablets. And we've got links to those app stores posted at skywatchtv.com. I've been trying my hand at fiction and got an opportunity for you to read my novels for free. The God Conspiracy and Iron Dragons, available if you are a subscriber at Amazon's Kindle Unlimited program. Then these are available for you to read for free. Appreciate you taking a look. You'll find those linked at my Amazon author page. And everything else we do, you'll find online at gilberthouse.org, which features the weekly Bible study that Sharon and I produce as we go through the Bible verse by verse in chronological order. We're just entering the book of Numbers now, but we got archives going back almost 6 years now, linked at gilberthouse.org. Thank you for watching as we keep watch. I'm Derek Gilbert, and this is 5 in 10 from Skywatch TV.